You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. And the Chicago Cubs have clobbered the Philadelphia Phillies by a score of 15-2.
Steve Rosenblum, it's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. The future Hall of Fame tones of Pat Hughes giving you the final 15-2 over the Phils. And Cubs are well on their way to winning the Stanley Cup. That's an excellent team they have for that purpose. Joining me now on the Scores guest line, and the Scores guest line is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is Evan Altman. He's the editor-in-chief of Real Cubs Insider, co-host of The Rant. Evan, thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's a beautiful day out. The Cubs are the best team in baseball in the second half of the season, right? So we're feeling pretty good.
Okay, so you addressed in long form earlier this week what everybody wants to do when everybody wants to play the fantasy game of acquiring Juan Soto. A week ago, Juan Soto said, no, I'm not doing this. You're going to pay me real money. And the Nationals said, no, we aren't. So now he's on the market. What do you think are the Cubs' chances of doing? Could they do it? Would they do it? Will they do it?
Could they do it? Yes. They've got enough prospect depth, or at least it would appear that way. And within the next couple of weeks, they'll probably have a lot more. And they've been signing a lot of these draft picks. I mean, it certainly appears as if the Nationals are in the mood for a long rebuild, and they're looking at a prospect-heavy haul. The Cubs could definitely match that price. But as far as would they, I think the issue with a Soto trade, and where I've said I don't know that it makes them better, is primarily around what would have to happen after that. You do not trade for Juan Soto to have him for 2.5 years. You trade for a 23-year-old superstar to have him in the fold for another decade or so, and whatever that contract that he gets, whatever extension, is probably going to have to start with a five, as far as $500 million. So you're talking about $500 million for a team that has clearly not shown a great deal of interest in extending its current stars. And then beyond that, you would have to spend a great deal more. I think we can all agree this Cubs team is not built to compete. That's not saying anything extraordinary. But if you lose players at the deadline and then you were to acquire Juan Soto, you'd still have to spend so much money to build pieces around him. That's where I think the issue comes in for the Cubs, and I don't know that it would be a great option for him at this point.
My guest is Evan Altman, editor-in-chief at Real Cubs Insider. We're talking to Cubs here. We're talking to Juan Soto. There's a difference between what Happ has done and what Contreras has done and at what age he is, and Juan Soto being of an age that the only comp for him under 24 is Ted Williams. So you're dealing with a whole different set of investments, and you would think that a team that claims to be big market would say, okay, this is where we're starting, and now we're going to acquire it. There was a lot of yammering about the Cubs and not having that roster, not spending that money, but wagging the big watch us this December in free agency. So I think they could go hand in hand and should for a big market team.
Yeah, they absolutely should. So, you know, I think the issue comes into, you know, if you look around the league, I mean, there's a couple teams that stand out, right? Not just the Nationals, who, as bad as the Cubs are, the Nationals are the worst record in the league. You look at the Angels with a pair of superstars. The issue is not so much committing money or time to a singular talent, and obviously any team would want to have that. The issue is how can they go about filling out the rest of the roster, and I think part of the reason the Cubs are in, I don't think this is absolutely the truth, the reason they're in the position they are now is not because they had great players and not because they didn't extend those great players, is because they did a really poor job of surrounding those core players with the kind of team that can make you competitive. You know, one player in baseball in particular, it's going to take two or three, around whom you've got to really put a bunch of talent. And I know they've got some guys on the come in the minors, but again, they would have to do so much of a better job of surrounding Soto with that talent. And that's, you know, I don't want to say I don't trust Jed Hoyer to do it, but if you go big on one player, you're still going to have to go very, very big on surrounding talent. And again, I just don't know that ownership is going to be willing to push in that far based on what we've seen over the last few years and the lack of willingness to surround those stars with the type of players they need. I'll believe it when I see it, put it that way.
Okay. I get that. I'm in favor of that. That skepticism is earned and natural. So then aside from, let's say they're not in the Soto Derby, then do they keep trading the Contreras's and Happ's and Hendricks and David Robertson for all the kids you can gather and see where they are in November and then assess the free agent market? Is that the way this gets played or what?
You know, it sort of feels that way. I do think, you know, we've heard, you know, there are rumblings that they were interested in Dom Smith of the Mets. And that was before he went on the IL. Now that seems like a really odd fit. But, you know, I do think there's also a possibility when you look at their recent draft strategy. You know, they got a lot of college players, a lot of big-bodied guys that they think they can come in. And, you know, with a couple of tweaks here and there, obviously we saw, you know, 16 pitchers. I think they're looking at quickly revamping the pitching side of things. They know they have a lot of position players on the way up. And, you know, I could see them, depending on what happens at the deadline, maybe – you know, one is to go out and trade for a bunch of teenagers, but they could also go and find some players that they think are close to being major league ready. Then they know what some of these guys are coming up. They know that in the next couple of years, they'll be able to then see, okay, here's who we need to add at what spots and be a little bit more targeted. But, you know, based on what we see right now, based on what's in-house, it's hard to imagine them really, truly pushing all in to be competitive prior to 24. That's just where the timing is right now with the prospects. You know, again, unless they make a splash, but that would necessitate other moves, like I said. So at this point, it does look like they're going to keep kind of playing this thing out and maybe look at next year as sort of that transition before really, really pushing in.
All right, let me play a game with you, or an exercise, however you want to look at it, Evan. I'm going to give you the starting lineup from last night's Cubs game. Who do you keep? who's part of the starting lineup, who's part of the roster when they go to spring training next year. Leading off was Rafael Ortega, and behind him, pinch hitting and playing center field, Nelson Velasquez. We'll go position by position at this point. So
Ortega's gone. I could see him being moved. Kind of a sell high. I don't think he's back with the team. Velasquez definitely with the two home runs last night. And again, he's the one who really came on in the Arizona Fall League. I think he's a guy they keep for the future.
Okay, so that's one of the two. All right, so that's one guy top of the order. Batting second last night, Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, unless they re-sign him as a free agent after trading him away, which is possible. You know, he said the All-Star game wasn't his last time in a Cubs jersey, or so he felt, unless he's coming back as a coach at some point. But, yeah, I think it's feels like fait accompli that he's traded at this point.
And pinch running and catching was P.J. Higgins. I should have included him with Contreras. So Contreras is a no. P.J. Higgins.
he's a yes. Year? Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have a big hole at catcher. I think Yan Gomes is still under contract. And I think Higgins is a backup. You know, he can move around the field a little bit. So, yeah, he's back.
Batting third yesterday, Seiya Suzuki.
Absolutely back. No trade clause, 5-year contract.
I just don't. He had a first month. He was having Kosuke Fukudomi's year, and then he got hurt, which may have restarted things. Maybe he can avoid the Kosuke Fukudomi, the descent into horribleness. And I hope he's able to do that. They need him to be good for that money. After that, Ian Happ.
Based on what we're seeing, we talked about Soto. There are rumors that teams are calling the Angels about Ohtani, but that he's not being moved. If the Cubs can get what they want for him, I think Happ is moved. I do think they're trying to move him, but I don't know if they get what they want, but I am leaning toward him being gone.
Okay. Nico Horner, shortstop.
He's definitely back, absolutely. Whether he's at short or not may depend on what else they do, but he's absolutely back. Mm.
Patrick Wisdom at third base.
I believe they will probably try to move him. Same thing I said about Ortega. I think he's kind of a sell high to a team that maybe needs a little bit of pop, or maybe he can sweeten the deal for one of those other kind of higher profile guys. So I do not believe he's back.
Okay, so this is sort of another twin entry because it involves DH, first base, but you can put them where you want for whatever reason. Frank Schwindel and Alfonso Rivas.
I will say Rivas is back for sure. Schwindel, I don't think so, because I believe the Cubs are going to be looking at, depending on what happens with Matt Mervis, who's one of their best hitting prospects, was just promoted to AAA. I think Mervis gets a call by the end of the season, and I believe he goes into camp with a really good shot at being the first baseman on at least a relatively everyday basis. So I don't think Schwindel is back.
Christopher Morel, second base.
Absolutely back. Most definitely.
Okay. So you've got several that we're watching now that you expect to be back. Maybe not everyone in the starting lineup, but you've got several who we're watching now. And then how they fill that in, we've been led to believe will be free agents. Right?
Yeah, I think in some spots, certainly I think there are some guys, I mentioned Matt Mervis, Jake Slaughter is another one who's been doing really well, kind of unheralded a little bit because he wasn't hitting very well at the lower levels, but has really shown out in Tennessee. So I think there are a few guys out there they could go and yeah, whether they're big time free agents or if we see something similar to the, kind of those, I know people don't want to hear this, but 2013, 2014 years where you're getting guys on short-term deals who can fill spots for a while. But, yeah, I think they're going to try to do a little bit of a mix, but I don't believe we're going to see too many of those, again, as I mentioned, 24 being maybe the year when the real kind of long-term prospects start coming up.
Okay, one last question, Evan. I don't want to go through the whole bullpen because that always seems to be in flux, but the rotation as it exists now, of the five, who comes back? Who's still here next year, the year after?
I'm going to say, Justin Steele, Keegan Thompson, I think are close to locks unless there's a blockbuster trade. I don't believe the market will develop for Marcus Stroman, so I think he's back. Kyle Hendricks is hurt. Isn't even going to be throwing again until after the deadline by the sounds of it. And so he's essentially a lock to come back. But I think then you look at Miley and Smiley are going to be moved or simply their contracts will run out. So I do think you've got, you know, really could be four of the five primary starters that will be back next year.
So basically, Kyle Hendricks is looking like it. He could be an off-season trade at this point, and they want him healthy. They want to show him
it's
off.
Possible.
Here's the last 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends greatly on how well he comes back, because if he's still got the homer issues, if the shoulder is even close to a question, that becomes kind of difficult, obviously.
Okay. Well, Evan, I appreciate it. Thanks for playing our game. Here's your lovely party.
No problem.
You get to come back again next time, whenever that is.
That's not much of a gift. I was just kind of hoping I'd get the dump button hit and I'm done, but that's cool.
It's not much of a game either, Evan. So that's the gift matches it.
That's true. Sounds good.
Evan. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Evan Altman, editor in chief at Real Cubs Insider, co-host of The Rant, talking Cubs there. We'll take a break. Coming up later this hour, we will replay in its entirety the Eddie Olczyk interview, the interview that Eddie Olczyk did with Mully and Haw during the Scorers 30th anniversary broadcast, the celebration at Real Time Sports Bar in Elk Grove Village. Eddie was there. Eddie talked about it. It was informative. It was emotional. And I want to share all of that with you. We'll come back with, there's just stuff we have to get to, stuff from the week that you need to know. And speaking of Cubs, by the way, tomorrow, this is your reminder, the only local broadcast of Cubs-Phillies baseball tomorrow is on The Score. Pre-game starts at 10:30 a.m. This is Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma's designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Video 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Coming up, Andy Olczyk interview with Molly Haw. In the meantime, some notes and stuff we need to talk about. And for the Wake and Bake Club, several weeks back, I brought you news of a camp in Northern California at which you would come out with a accreditation of being a ganjier, sort of the sommelier version of ganja. So you'd be a ganjier. You'd be able to examine and recommend and become an expert on pot, looking for career opportunities for the Wake and Bake Club members. Here's another one that came up this week. It's in New York. Mayor Eric Adams is conducting a job search for a first ever cannabis New York City founding director. The idea is to rep the city's marijuana interests once the state officially gets legal pot sales going. This is from the New York Post. The city is looking for a senior level professional with experience working with government, regulatory entities, or the cannabis industry. Well, WB Club members are certainly familiar with the cannabis industry, and that could help you. The city's pot czar will be a liaison between City Hall and the State Office of Cannabis Management. That's according to the description, but the Big Apple will be answering to the state, which has been charged with regulating the industry, just so you know. One source close to the mayor of New York, who's looking for a spokesperson, as it were, looking for someone to fill the role who has, quote, lived experiences, understands the industry, and has been unfairly targeted in the past by law enforcement to give them an opportunity to be part of the growing cannabis economy. Wake and Bake Club, there you go. A spokesperson for New York City.
Smoke weed every day.
There you go. Thank you, Nate Dark. So James Fegan of The Athletic. Tomorrow is the Hall of Fame induction. Minnie Minoso goes into the Hall of Fame. Long overdue. Minnie Minoso's widow, Sharon Rice Minoso, is preparing to speak at the Hall. She will speak at the induction ceremonies for her husband, the late Minnie Minoso. According to James Fegan, he tweeted this out. She said there's a 10-minute limit for speeches. And he quoted her as saying, I'm at 8:58, but that doesn't count crying. Nice, nice. Tomorrow at the Hall of Fame ceremonies, according to John Shestakovsky, he's the Vice President of Communications and Education for the Baseball Hall of Fame, David Ortiz goes into the Hall of Fame, Big Poppy. And the Hall of Fame VP tweeted this out, David Ortiz, who wore number 34 in Boston, and he wore it to honor Hall of Famer Kirby Puckett, previous team, the Twins, is now the 340th member of the Baseball Hall. And Howard Bryant tweets, more stuff you can't make up. David Ortiz will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame July 24th, 2022, which will be Barry Bonds' 58th birthday. They both had similar mentions in New York Times reports of leaks from lists that were kept. The All-Star Game, Fox Sports All-Star coverage, the MLB this week, averaged 7.6 million viewers across Fox and Fox Deporte. All-time lows. I don't know, did you watch it? Did you watch the All-Star Game? Were you interested? I do think that the players mic'd up, the conversations going on, which you can only do in an All-Star game when nobody really cares, was entertaining. The mics between players and listening in on their conversations. Gerrit Cole and Max Fried, although Max Fried's, for my purposes, Max Fried's microphone sucked. But the idea was terrific. Alex Manoah of Toronto was wonderful. And why I was watching that, I must have been doing something else and just had it on because it was on. And that part, well, I found interesting. I like that. Well, not enough America watched, whatever. Here's some another broadcast news. Tomorrow, as I said, we will be the only local broadcast of Cubs-Phillies baseball. It's on the score. Pregame starts at 10:30. Another broadcast item, Rich Eisen. I believe Northwestern's very own. You probably knew him from SportsCenter. The face of the NFL Network, that's for sure, since its founding nearly 20 years ago, will reportedly see his contract end before the new NFL season and nothing has been re-signed. Rich Eisen, there's something, maybe legend's overstating it, but there's certainly a regular part of you knew the NFL network was right. He's right. There's Rich Eisen. I'm in place where I'm supposed to be. A lot of other bodies come and go. Mike Mayock became the Raiders general manager for a while, but Rich Eisen was always Rich Eisen. Who knows? Look, if the Blackhawks let Eddie go, and the NFL Network can make a mistake. One of the things about baseball, by the way, the All-Star game, the Chicago White Sox tweeted this. Our appreciation for a Byron Buxton home run expires at midnight. I think that's nicely played. That's nicely played. It probably didn't come from Steve Stone. So again, Jay Zawoski, I love Jay Zawoski. I want to say that again. And when we were talking about Eddie Olczyk being basically having no choice or choosing to leave, whatever it was, the Blackhawks screwing this up, and Jay's idea that the Blackhawks need to employ a vice president in charge. What the hell are we doing here? Before that even came close to happening, but Eddie was gone. And Jay made the wonderful comparison of, if you want to get younger, you've done it with Chris Bosters. The way the Blackhawks, or the way the Sox did it with Jason Benetti. And then you have Steve Stone. He and Eddie are the same kind of sport oracles. They're the same guys with credibility, the guys you trust, guys with a wonderful ability to explain what's going on as it's going on, what a player was thinking, what he might have thought, what the options were, and to do it with an economy of words and efficiency. It doesn't go on and on and on in the course of a broadcast. I think it's a massive mistake by the Blackhawks. And I thought it was interesting, Brett, that Jay wasn't going to give... He wasn't going to give Blackhawk fans false hope that something might change. And that change could be that they find a way to bring him back. We will bring you the Eddie O interview with Mullane Haw after this break. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Saturday Suckers, thanks for listening. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next Saturday. And now we bring you the Eddie Olczyk interview with Mike Mulligan and David Haw from the Score's 30th anniversary celebration.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is great to have Eddie Olczyk here. Hey, he's at the broadcast. Hey, Eddie, we love you, buddy.
Happy anniversary,
great
Chicago.
To have you.
How are you guys
great
doing?
To see you.
Full disclosure here. Full disclosure.
Peel the curtain back.
I got a text from Dustin about 8 or 9 days ago. It said, hey, our anniversary's coming up. Elk Grove Village, not too far from you. What do you think? You can jump on with the boys in the morning. And I said, I'm in, because I am. People might not know. I have done a little bit of work for the Score back in the day. I actually was thinking about it over the course of the last couple of days that Mitch had hired me, and I actually did a solo show, and I believe it was on Labor Day by myself.
No kidding.
For a couple of hours. I remember I had the little guy on with me, Jesse Rogers. I had Susie Colbert from ESPN. We were getting ready for Bears. I think, and that was the last solo show I did for the score, so I think I got the message, Mitch, that it went. I remember doing a show out, I think out like in Naperville or Lyle area. There was a Hooters out there, and it was, I think Gale Sayers had it. I don't know if he was on every week or whatever,
yeah,
but I think I was out there with Freddie, and I co-hosted a show with Freddie Huber.
You were interviewing Gale Sayers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and if I can, just tell you a quick story about Gale Sayers. So my rookie year, of course, I'm from here, and I lived and died as a Blackhawk as a kid, and obviously I got the unbelievable opportunity to play for the franchise and then obviously broadcasting. But so we're playing the Edmonton Oilers in the 85 semifinals, okay? We're four wins away from going to the Stanley Cup Final, and I'm a rookie with my hometown team. And we're at the old building, the old Chicago Stadium,
yep.
And we lost the first two games in Edmonton. Now, remember, in 85, the Oilers were just on the cusp of becoming the Edmonton Oilers. So we went to Edmonton for the first two games. They had home ice. We lost the first two games, I believe. The total score, I think, was like 21-7 the first two games, okay? Gretzky had like about 5-8 and whatever. So we come back home. You know, people are, you know, it's May. People got their shorts on. It's warm out. They're at the Chicago Stadium. I'm skating around in warm-ups, and the place is up for grabs. And if anybody had never had the opportunity to be at the Chicago Stadium for a hockey game or even a Bulls game, I'm sorry you missed that, because there was no better building, in my opinion, in the history of professional sports than the old Chicago Stadium. And me being able to be around,
yep.
And we come out for the game. I'm skating around in warm-ups, and I'm just like, man, oh, man. We're four wins away from going to Stanley Cup Final. We're down 2-0 to Edmonton, but this place is up for grabs. I'm skating around right before we're going to have the national anthem, and as I skate to the corner to the left of Murray Bannerman, I look into the crowd, and people are just going crazy and just clapping and everything else. All of a sudden, I look, and I just make eye contact, and there's this large human smiling, clapping like this. I look, I go, that's Gale Sayers. Sitting three rows from the ice, I'm like, this is an important game.
That's great, yeah.
The Kansas Comet. The Kansas Comet is at the game. So, look, you guys have done an amazing job. This station, has done an amazing job for all the franchises, and you guys certainly lead the crew here at the Score. So I have a relationship here with the family here at the Score, and really enjoyed it. And it was great to see Tommy and Chuck. And I used to listen to Chuck all the time, because I lived and died sports as a young yeah. kid in our town. And you know, it was something that I was hoping that I would be able to get into. Obviously, I wanted to become a professional hockey player, but I thought maybe down the line that maybe I could get into broadcasting of some sort, and ended up happening. So it was nice to see those
do
guys.
You remember,
thank you for having me. Thanks
do you remember
me.
Writing Chuck that letter as an 18-year-old kid that he still has? And yeah. I think it says a lot about him, but even as much about you, that you would handwrite this letter to this broadcaster about wanting to do what you ended up doing.
Yeah. Well, that is the bottom line, though. You know that, right? That is. And as that was Chuck's, one of his famous phrases, I always enjoyed, you know, listening to people and learning and trying to, you know, be a part of that business someday. And I just happened to be able to do both, play professional hockey and then obviously get into the business. So great to see that. My printing wasn't very good back then. I could see that at Brother Rice High School back on the and I also sent him a picture too. Mitch showed it to me. Chuck did as well. So it brings back a lot of memories. But thank you very much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Did you always know when you were playing that you were going to be a broadcaster when you were done? Did you ever view your life in that fashion?
I think I had aspirations, Molly, that I wanted to get into the broadcasting part of it. And, you know, I didn't know how, I just, you know, I mean, back in the day, it would be, you know, you do interviews in between periods and you thanks, you know, and you just kind of built up a relationship. And actually, I actually got my start in broadcasting was back in 94 after we won the Stanley Cup with the Rangers. There was a work stoppage like 3 or 4 months later. And everybody knows I'm a horse racing guy, and the people
really?
the people at the Meadowlands racetrack were like, hey, you know what, you're not working, you know, why don't you come to the track? You can be our in-house handicapper on TV at the track, and you know, we'll give you $800 a show. And I'm like, holy cow, they're going to pay me to come to the track? What a scam this is. Because you know? All they knew, it'd be like, all right, Malik, where's my 800? Okay, yeah. David, you're the guy. Okay, give me my betting, give me my wager, and give me my tickets. So that was my introduction to television and broadcasting was the year we had the work stoppage in the NHL. I did horse racing and then push it some 25 years later, fast forward, I got the gig with NBC and now being a part of their Triple Crown coverage.
And before that, obviously, you go to back home to Chicago, Blackhawks 2006. And Eddie, that's where you have been and you established yourself as what I referred to yesterday, best analyst in town, one of the best in America, regardless of the sport. And it's been a whirlwind couple days, I'm sure, for you, having gotten the news on Monday, having the news break that you and the Blackhawks are going to part company, could not come to an agreement. How difficult has the last 48 hours been for you, and how would you describe what happened?
Well, thank you, first off. You know, yeah, it has been a roller coaster ride, an emotional ride. But again, this was my decision. There was a contract on the table, and I just felt at this particular time that it was best for me to just step away and explore other opportunities. And look, I have my unbelievable gig with TNT, and you know, doing one game a week, but. You know, look, a lot of factors go into making a decision. Takes two sides to make a deal, obviously, but at the end of the day, it was my decision. I'm very much at peace with my decision. It's been an unbelievable run. I could not be more proud of the last 16 years, you know, sitting next to the great Pat Foley for 14 of those, seeing this franchise really come from nowhere. Right. And that's the leadership of the late Mr. Wirtz, Bill Wirtz, and then obviously now with Rocky and now Danny, you know, being front and center for, you know, for the Blackhawks. And it's just been – it was a dream come true. It really was. And it was a real hard conversation to have with Rocky on Monday. It was a very difficult hard conversation to have with Danny and also Jamie Faulkner. But I just feel like right now it's the best thing for me. So I just want to thank the incredible Blackhawk fans for, you know, for supporting me through some of my most difficult times, especially it's hard to believe, but I'm going on 5 years since I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And knock on wood, I'm clean and clear, and that's what I'm
planning.
You look
great. Yeah,
well, thank you. Thanks, guys.
You look great.
Thanks. But it just, you know, lots of... You know, lots of factors go into making a decision like this, and certainly my family was a big part of this, and some of my closest friends and people in my life. But at the end of the day, I would never change anything that's happened to me representing this franchise. I will always feel I'm a part of the franchise. I will die a Blackhawk, and I'm just very thankful for getting a chance to work for Rocky and for Danny and seeing and developing those relationships with the players. I mean, some of the hardest conversations have been, and trust me, Rocky and Danny in particular, those were very difficult and very emotional. But having the conversations with the training staff of this team, the broadcasters and a guy like Troy Murray, who was in a battle himself, was very difficult. Having that conversation with Pat, even though he has moved on, the players, in particular, Kaner, and some guys that have moved on and retired or playing in other areas, to give them the heads up. So many emotions, but I am very much at peace with my decision, and I'm just very grateful for having that opportunity to represent this franchise as long as I have.
We love you, Eddie.
Yeah, we do, Eddie. You know, I got to tell you, I had this conversation with David around some of the trades and some of the things they were doing with the draft, right? And so I was saying to David, I have memories of going to Blackhawks games where literally 200 people were in the building, where you could throw a brick and not hit anyone. There was nobody in this building, and you worry that they're thinking that that's not so bad because they came back from that, and that's when the cups were won and all that. But I think it's dangerous for an organization to put the faith in people that they're always going to be there for the team. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a broadcaster like yourself, a legend, a Blackhawks legend like yourself, or just fans that came to love the Blackhawks and that really made an impact on them. And I just worry that they're not taking into account all the way people feel. Eddie, You know, you're the guy that we watch the game with. You're teaching us. You're telling, you know, when you say to the young kids, they're telling me, oh, that's how you do that? That's what happens. Oh, wow. There's so much information and content that you give to people watching the sport, and it's just wrong that it isn't being appreciated in the fashion in which they need to.
Well, thank you. And I would hope that, and that's what we tried to do, was to entertain. And obviously with the great Pat Foley, is like, regardless of the outcome, we hope you enjoyed the broadcast. And we tried to entertain and laugh a little bit and watch great Blackhawk fans enjoy their soft serve ice cream every once in a while and teach the game and not talk down to the educated fan, but then also knowing that there might be somebody that turns on the game for the first time and needs to understand what is going on. As far as what is going on right now, this should have happened a couple of years ago. The rebuild should have happened a couple of years right. ago without question. Any conversation that I had with Danny Wirtz, being a part of the GM search, you know, kind of brought in halfway through the search or what have you, along with Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa, I went through something very similar like this when I was coaching in Pittsburgh, where we decided to blow it up and move every asset that we had. Now, the understanding was that you had a couple of generational players that were on the verge of becoming available, and we just happened to get lucky in Pittsburgh where we moved up from the draft from third to first to get a guy by the name of Marc-Andre Fleury, the first overall pick. And then the next year we ended up finishing second in the lottery system and ended up getting Evgeny Malkin. If we would have finished first, we could have got Alexander Ovechkin.
Right.
And then the next year there was no hockey, and then we were lucky enough that the lottery system, the way it worked, is that we were weighted in a system where Sidney Crosby was available, and we had a 50-50 chance once we were up in Anaheim. So there was a plan, and I do believe, and I can say this without fact, there is a plan in place right now for the Blackhawks. It's going to take some time. Like, it is going to take some time. The Hawks know where they were, where they are, and where they are trying to get to. Now, they will be evaluated couple of years from now, but it's going to take some time. I hope that the fans understand, and I think Kyle and his staff have tried to elaborate on that and understand. Look, it's gonna get rough. And then obviously in the forefront now is what the hell is going to happen with Johnny and with Kaner.
Right.
And those guys hold the keys. They have the no, you know, they have the no movement clause, and they are driving the bus. So there's a lot there, but I do believe is that they understand, and in order to turn this thing around, and again, hindsight is what it is, they should have done this a couple of years ago. But again, look, you can't change that. You know,
no.
when you're sitting dead last in the Western Conference for a while, or you finish seventh place in a 17 division, there has, you know, the understanding, you know, that okay, you know, you have to change at some point. Again, look, you learn from it, and obviously massive changes have happened over there, just for obvious reasons. So it's going to take some time, and I'm hoping against hope is that they can turn it around. And look, you have to draft well. You think about what has happened here over the course of the last couple of years, and not trying to go too inside hockey here, Mitch. Mitch, do we want to make the announcement?
Talking too much hockey, Eddie.
Do we want to make the announcement about the show that I'm going to be a part of moving forward? The ten minute hockey show, Dump and Chase with Eddie Olczyk, right? Is that what we're going to do for 10 minutes? 12 o'clock midnight every Monday or every Sunday night.
I'd stay up, Eddie.
So, you know, look at the last couple of years when you look at some draft picks, you have a couple of picks where, again, it's always easy to look back, but you have to draft well.
Right.
You have to make the move. I will say one last thing on that, and we can change the subject. The making the move and moving Kirby Dach, to me, I thought was a smart move by Kyle Davidson and his staff. And to get a first rounder for Kirby Dach, right, who has underachieved to this point. Now, in fairness, he hasn't been healthy a lot of this time. But the biggest thing is, and I learned this when I was in Pittsburgh, and I tried to relay this to the franchise when I was a part of the GM search, is that figure out, and I'm sure Mitch probably does this with the talent here at the Score, is figure out who in the hell your people are before the rest of the league does.
Right.
And if you can do that, you're going to be well ahead of the game. You're going to make mistakes. You may move out a player a little bit early.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, why keep throwing bad money after bad money? Now, look, I like Kirby. I hope he goes to Montreal. He thought there was pressure here in Chicago.
Just wait.
There is a little bit more pressure up in Montreal. So at the end of the day, I thought Kyle made an outstanding trade to be able to get an asset. Now, you got to draft well in order. So I think the outcome will be proven here in the next couple of years, and hopefully the Hawks can find, you know, you look at, are you going to find ever going to find another Kaner? You know,
no.
I sure hope so. Look
I
at,
don't think so.
Okay, but the generational player can really turn the franchise around, and I think that that's certainly what the Hawks are hoping for, and see if it comes to fruition.
Okay, I don't want to change the subject just yet, Eddie,
okay.
Because I think the last 10 minutes were a great example of how the Blackhawks made such a colossal error in judgment here. Because respect the way that you've handled this, the grace with which you're displaying is like an example for everybody. But you just explained the rebuild, okay?
Yeah.
You summarized what they're doing, and nobody is going to be able to do that as well as you just did that. And having that on a nightly basis, on a regular basis, is a value to the team and the organization
that's hard to estimate.
David,
I don't mean to interrupt you. And I know. I know it's your show. Look at and your show, Mike. They did want me back. They offered me a contract. And look at this is my decision. And there are many reasons why. And I said publicly, and I gave my word to Rocky Wirtz and to Danny, I am going to handle this the right way. And
you are.
I am not.
Right.
This is me. My reputation is everything. I'm not doing that. Now, if I have to defend myself at some point,
yes.
Just because, okay, I will. But I've said, look at, again, my decision. They wanted me back. I wanted to be back. But at the end of the day, I just took that step back. Look at, I love this franchise. This is my home. This is where I will be always. But at this particular time, and I know it's hard, it's frustrating. People probably just, how does this happen or whatever? Look, I wish everything would have been taken care of 7 or 8 months ago. That's what I was hoping, and it never happened. And we got to this point. And when contract negotiations happen, things happen. You read, you feel, you see the room. I pushed my agent off to the side in order to do this deal because I wanted to feel and see and hear what the hell was going on behind closed doors. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't getting third person, and I was able to make that decision. So I wasn't blaming it on my agent. I wasn't blaming it on any representative. Is that I wanted to be the person in the room to be able to know what is going on. And then I calculated everything. And like I said, I am disappointed. 100% I am. But I just felt that this was best for both sides, for me to just take a step back.
What is the racetrack in Seattle?
Hold on a second. It's Emerald Downs. I will answer that part of that.
Thank you.
But right now, I am. I want to work. I love hockey. I have my opportunity at TNT, 100%. I have some opportunities. I'm weighing them. My wife, obviously, of 33 years, so we've been together just a little bit longer than the score. So, right now, I am communicating, obviously, with a lot of people. I've had some opportunities, in other aspects of it, and we'll see what happens. I love what I do. I love calling hockey games and teaching and instructing and entertaining. And all due respect, everything that's personally that has gone on here, we all know what's going on in the real world out there. We understand, and we're in the entertainment business, and the real world has struck our city. Seems to happen on a daily basis, and then obviously up in the northwest suburbs where I live, and has affected my immediate family on what transpired up on July the 4th. So understanding is that, the real world is we need to focus on that and understand and put perspective. But the entertainment aspect of what you guys do, and then what I have done here for the last 16 years is to take people away from the real world for a couple of hours every day, or a couple of hours at the broadcast for the Blackhawk games, and if I can, I would. The relationship with the team members behind the scenes with the Blackhawks, and also at NBC Sports Chicago, in particular, Kevin Cross and John Shipman, our buddy Cap, obviously, over there as well, and just all the men and women that helped the broadcast, and in particular, Mitch Kirzner, Dave Turner, and Dave Ross, who are the men behind the scene of putting on Blackhawk hockey over the last boatload of years for Aussie and DT, and then Mitch taking over here the last couple of years. I've been very lucky to be able to work with some of the most talented people behind the scenes, as you guys do on a daily basis, and it won't be the same. But I become a better broadcaster by working with those type of people. So I tip my hockey helmet. I don't have a helmet on right now, but maybe when I leave here, I might need to put on an old Jofa or something. So, but I thank them from the bottom of my heart for all the hard work that that they put in to help put our broadcast on, and hopefully people have been entertained and put a little smile on their face and give them perspective over the last little while.
Always admired your perspective, Eddie. And I think that when you look at Chicago as a hockey city, you referenced Kirby Dach going to Montreal, different environment, different level of pressure. In terms of Chicago, I know that the way you handled this has been exemplary. When you look at what's ahead for the Hawks, mm-hmm. how do you think the popularity of the sport will suffer? Or are, you know, the Hawk fans are small but loyal base, but it's small.
Well,
it gets, how much smaller will it get because of the struggles ahead?
Well, I would disagree with you as far as the small part. I think there is a boatload of Blackhawk fans. Now, if you're saying comparing them to Bears, I heard you guys talking earlier, you know, yeah. Bear City, yeah. I understand that. It's all perspective. Look, if you have entertaining an entertaining product, people will come. People will come and they will watch. Look at wins or losses. You want to see an effort. Look at, yeah, you want to win all the time. Look at winning cures all. Ratings were down the last couple of years. Sure, you want to blame the broadcasters? Go ahead. Teams winning, unbelievable numbers. Broadcasters, we weren't blamed. So you know, those type of things are going to happen. And look, I was a fan. I think we have the best fans in the world, and I hope they understand, and I believe, and in my conversations with Kyle Davidson, the understanding of being out there and talking to the fans. I lived it in Pittsburgh. I was the coach, but I was our spokesperson, and that's one of the reasons I got the job, is because I could relate to the fans and be able to just give them enough. Like, not going to give them everything. That's just the reality of it. But just give them enough to understand and share with them and give them a little bit of insight on what we're trying to get accomplished. And I know that's an important emphasis from the organization to Kyle, and obviously with Luke Richardson, with my pal Lukey, and I enjoyed your guys' interview with them there a little while, and that was a hard conversation when I let Luke know that I wasn't going to be with him and Steph this year, his wife Stephanie, but I think that's going to be really important to be able to relay that message and look at sell the brand, right? Sell the game. And understand, yeah, it's going to get rough. Like, there's going to be some rough patches. So that is going to be very, very important. But I think Blackhawk fans, I know there's a lot of frustration. I understand that, and I respect that. And, you know, you're fans, and you can and do and say what you please. But at the end of the day is that there is a plan, and hopefully this will pan out for everybody involved.
So let's just talk about you. Let's not talk about the Blackhawks. Is there a plan? Do you – I mean, you know – what you do well, and you know what you want to do, mm-hmm. are you comfortable moving forward that you have a plan in place that will resolve whatever, you know, even if this was your decision and you didn't like this was happening, do you know what's going to happen in the future?
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't. I know that the NHL schedule is coming out soon, so then I will know. Then I will know. But all I know is I got... I better not say what I'm doing on Friday because my son might get a little upset. But anyway, so then I got a family trip coming, and I'm going to Saratoga for NBC for the Whitney. Yeah.
Shocking.
And then the following weekend I'm the keynote speaker at the Jockey Club Hall of Fame induction at Saratoga. So I'm going back that following weekend.
Wow.
So, you know, I got a free weekend at Saratoga, and then just kind of get ready for training camps around the league. So that's really what's on the docket for me. And I love hockey. This is my life, and I will be involved in it, whether it's on another level or I will just continue to be on a national level. And this will be my home. And for the time being, right now, you know, we're just going to kind of explore other opportunities.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.